Thank you, Pastor Brian. As we think about the Christmas season, sometimes it brings up a lot of sentimental thoughts about family and friends and those who have passed on. And so there's a lot of times things that are just kind of stirred around Christmas season. But may the thing that stir us most is the love that God has for us to send Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ, to be born in this world. May that truly be, as Christians, the sentiment that we hold on to. As we work through this Christmas story this morning, I want to bring out two major thoughts. First is the first Christmas, and then the last Christmas. The prophecy that led to the first Christmas, and the hope that we have looking forward to the last Christmas. If you have your Bibles this morning, we'll turn to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Book of Luke, chapter 2. As we look in God's Word this morning, a couple of questions. Do you truly grasp the gospel of Jesus Christ and believe upon Him as your Savior? Not what a denomination does, not what a church does, not even what the Christian religion does, but do you take God's Word for what it is about who it is, Jesus Christ? Do you have Him as your Savior? See, it's because of Jesus, the Christmas story fills our heart and compels us to live with a hope and an anticipation of the return of Christ. Back in the book of Isaiah, we find the prophecy about the first Christmas. We find the prophecy about God foretelling the coming of His Son, Jesus. What was going on back in the Old Testament? Isaiah is prophesying to a people who are in darkness of sin. They had gone away from God. They'd got off into idolatry and pagan worship. They were looking for some kind of king, for some sort of earthly satisfaction. They had rebelled against God. And because of their rebellion against God, God let them pay the consequences of their rebellion. They were taken into exile by the Babylonians, and also others by the Assyrians. But the prophet Isaiah speaks a word to them that God had given to him about the hope coming. It's amazing that even though they had left God, God had not left them. That God was still calling them back to repentance and giving them hope. The first thing we look at is Christmas prophecy. How the world was so entrenched with sin and idolatry, leaving God. God gave them their consequences for it, but oh, He shows them the love. Shows them the love that He has for them. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah says in chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. He speaks this to the nation of Israel who had gone astray from God. He says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of the government, of his government or of peace. And on the throne of David, and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. From then on and forevermore, the zeal of Yahweh," or your translation may say, the zeal of the Lord of hosts, will accomplish it." Let's pray together. Father God, as we look into your word, God, we see that hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born, you were giving a word of prophecy about his coming, the first Christmas. You were reaching down into a people who had left you, a people who had turned their back on you, but a people you so dearly loved. And you wanted relationship. And God, there was a remnant of believers there that you were giving comfort to. Lord, I pray that you show us that today. As we look at the Christmas story of past, but God, the life that even we live today, and as we look to the future, we pray all of this in the sweet name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. So this prophecy from Isaiah was about 700 to 800 years before Jesus was born. Could you imagine the Word of God coming to Isaiah 700 to 800 years before Jesus was born? And that was a word of hope for them because they had been in exile for so long. The people had chosen their own way. Their own desires led them into sins with the rest of the world. And yet God was so faithful to them. That's a reminder to us. Even though our faith may shake and wave from time to time, God's faithfulness never does. He's always faithful to us, even when we are not exactly faithful to him. That's why he has to give us the gift of faith for our salvation. Why? Because if it was based on our faith alone, it wouldn't last very long. If it was just based on my faith, let me tell you, I'd been saved about 5 minutes. But it's the faith that God gives us of salvation, and we embrace that faith. It is a gift that he gives to us, and that we live this life enduring to the very end. God never left the Israelite people because he had a plan from the foundation of the world to be in relationship for all eternity with his people, the elect of God. The prophecy foretells about this first Christmas. I like to call it Christmas past, because from our perspective, it's past. It's been 2,000 years ago. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through verses 15. It gives us this biblical account of a story that's of old, for 2,000 years. But let it be fresh in our minds today. This beautiful, miraculous intervention of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "Now it happened that in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus for a census to be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was going to be registered for the census, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was betrothed to him and was with child. But now it happened, while they were there, the days were fulfilled for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her first son, and wrapped him in cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the guest room. In the same region there were some shepherds, staying out in the field and watching over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you: you will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. And it happened that when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began to say to one another, let us go to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. We see this story. We've read it so many times. We've heard it over and over, year after year after year. Sometimes we begin to get a little numb to it. Sometimes we can begin to just kind of think about it in a distance. We see the nativity, and we're so familiar with it. Familiarity sometimes is a detriment to growing, because we get so familiar that we forget there's a message for all of us, that Jesus, God in the flesh, he's 100% human, 100% divine. He came to bring the love of God to a world lost in the darkness of sin. What the prophet 700 to 800 years before had said about Jesus, we just read it happened. Think about it. They had a problem. We have a problem. It's a bloodline problem of sin. And that we're unable to solve it ourselves. God had the solution for our sin problem. And that was his son, Jesus Christ. We can try as best we can today to be as good a human being as we possibly can. We can never save ourselves. And it baffles me that people say, well, I hope I go to heaven. I think I've been good enough. You will never be good enough to erase the sin problem that only Jesus can erase in your life. Only Christ. And it's not Jesus plus your good behavior. It's Christ and Christ alone for salvation. And Jesus came. He took on flesh. He lived a perfect life, sinless life that you and I could not do. And he died on the cross for our sins, and he resurrected from death to life in victory for us. The Christmas story happened because of our sin problem, and we had no hope of resolving ourselves. A sin problem that from the pastor to the person sitting in the back to those standing out by greeting people coming in, we all have a problem. To those who are somewhere else and not in a church today, we all have the same problem, a sin problem. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For all have sinned. This is what God is looking at when he sees a world. He sees us full of sin. All of us. Oh, but he had a plan. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What sin did Jesus die for? All of them. Past, present, and future. Well, Brother Kevin, I have a problem with this future thing. How did Jesus die for my future sins? Well, think about it. Jesus died 2,000 years ago. All your sins were in the future. All of them. He died for all sin. But God demonstrates his own love toward us. A perfect, pure, holy, righteous love. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. Listen, you and I deserve to die because of our sin. We deserve death and we deserve hell. We don't deserve heaven. There's nothing about us as human beings that deserve heaven. The only way that heaven is our future and our inheritance is because of what Jesus has done. He says, for the wages of sin, the payment of sin, even one sin in our life, the payment of that sin is death. Not only physical death, but spiritual death, a separation from all that is good. separation from God, a place called hell. Listen, the wages of sin is death, but the gift. Listen, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What did God give us on Christmas Day? A gift. That was his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, when he seeks us out and he comes to us and he stirs in our heart, he regenerates us. He gives us a gift of saving faith. And it's through that saving faith that we respond in belief and repentance on Jesus Christ. It's a gift of God. Man, that's how we benefit from Jesus' birth and sinless life and death on the cross and resurrection from the dead. Is that because he's given us a gift of faith? We repent and we respond. This is how we do it. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's not just lip service. A lot of people give God lip service. Is that this faith that he's given you is settled in your heart, that it's there as a gift. But it's that belief that you have in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. It says you will be saved. For it is with your heart a person believes, leading to righteousness, and with the mouth confesses, leading to salvation. What God has done on the inside, we say it on the outside. May the Christ of Christmas be the one whom you open your heart up to, upon him being Savior of your soul. May you be filled with his Holy Spirit, even this morning. Man, maybe you're saved and you're born again. You came to church feeling like nothing. Maybe you came here feeling so defeated in the life that Christ has designed out for you. Or maybe you, like the Israelites, have gotten off course. Listen, God hasn't left you. He's calling you back home. He's calling you back in this relationship with him where nothing interferes, where there's no sin. Would you repent even of today? And the Holy Spirit fill you fresh and anew. Man, I need a fresh filling from the Holy Spirit. Why? Because my life is like a bucket with a hole in it. I leak. What about you? Man. Because of Christ, we abandon our own selfish desires and trade that in for pursuing Christ. And we find hope. We find future in our Savior. So there was a prophecy about the first Christmas. We come to Christ Jesus as Savior, and we're living this church life. We're living this Christian life. And it gives us hope. Gives us hope in Christ Jesus for our second coming. The hope in Christmas presents because the Holy Spirit has regenerated us from spiritual death to life, and we live in gratitude and grace with this guarantee of eternal life in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. So with a Christ in our lives, we swell with this joy from inside. Man, no matter what comes on the outside, it's this joy from the presence of God living inside of us that we can face the challenges and look forward to eternity with him. Not that we look all at the things that we've done wrong, but man, we look forward to what Christ is doing. We live with hope. He gives us joy, and he gives us the hope for our future. Man, there may be challenges for the moment. He gives us those opportunities to grow in faith based on his goodness and his kindness. And when our faith is weak, and we tend to struggle in our faith, man, his faith is strong and sustains us. It is that ever-present, thriving gift of faith by the Spirit of God, which anchors our hope in Christ both today and forevermore. How do we live this life? Knowing that heaven is our home, because it is the faith that God gives us to look forward to him. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14, Titus writes this to the church. He says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, those who believe, instructing us that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age." He's telling us how we are to live this life following Christ. Verse 13 says, "Looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ." Listen, the children of Israel were in a dark place looking for the hope of Jesus' first coming, that first Christmas. The prophet spoke to them, and they had been looking and looking and looking and looking for Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to appear that first time. Listen, today, Jesus has ascended in heaven. He's on the right hand of God. Today, we live every day with an anticipation of Christ coming back. If you're a Christian and you're not living with anticipation of Christ coming back, oh my goodness, you're missing out on the joy that wells up inside, that this life is not it. This is not final. There's a joy coming because Christ returns. Man, don't live for the cemetery. Live for the second coming. He says this. He says, "Looking for the blessed hope and appearance of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all lawlessness and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good works." That he says, listen, we live with hope, anticipating the coming of Christ. And he stirs this joy up inside of us because of that hope that we have in Christ. That we live zealous, excited about the work that he has laid out before us. That should change our mind when we're asked to do things in church. "Well, I just don't know if I have time." Man, maybe the Holy Spirit stir you with zeal and the anticipation of Christ's return. May we get our eyes off of ourselves and our own situation and say, "Lord, here am I. Send me. Lord, what do you have for me to do?" He saved you. He equipped you for a purpose and for a reason. And it wasn't just to warm a chair at church. He's called you with anticipation and excitement, a zealousness for good works. Man, we reflect on this first Christmas with the coming of Christ as a child. It is the birth, life, and death, and resurrection of Christ that these truths that we as Christians embrace and grow through and mature in who Jesus is and what he has done for us. But listen, Christmas points us to salvation we have in our Christ. In Christ Jesus. He is our connection to the Heavenly Father. And we live each day with eternity in mind. Just as the first Christmas pointed the shepherds and the wise men to the hope of the world, Jesus Christ. Listen, may we ever find the Christmas story pointing us to the hope of the return of Christ. You see, the hope that we live today, powered by the Holy Spirit of God to keep our focus going forward, keep our focus looking for what Christ is doing and has done and is coming back again. Listen, may Christmas prepare us for the providential return of Jesus Christ as King. If you'll give me the freedom to say, that's the last Christmas. The first Christmas was he come to earth the first time. The last Christmas is he comes to earth the second time. The first Christmas he came in humility. He came as a baby, small, weak, and helpless, dependent upon his parents. Oh, but the second coming, he comes in glory and power and authority. May we look forward to that. May our focus be on Christ's return. See, in the book of Revelation, the Apostle John records the vision that God gave him of the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not revelations. There's no S on it. It is one revelation of Jesus Christ. He gave John this vision of the revelation of Jesus in his royal celestial glory. Listen to this. How exciting. Revelation 19, verse 11 through 16. Says, then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. Not a donkey out of manger. Not a camel standing by. He comes on a white horse, and he sits on it. And he who sits on it is called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire. And on his head are many diadems or many crowns, having a name on him which nobody knows except himself. And being clothed with a garment dipped in blood, his name is also called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, are following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treats the winepress of the wrath of the rage of God, the Almighty. And he has on his garment and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. The last Christmas, Christ comes back with power and authority. He won't be mocked by the world anymore. He won't be made fun of. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess who Christ is. Your faith is not in vain today. You live with the hope of seeing Christ. What glory. Man, what a marvelous day when Jesus eliminates all the enemies. Listen, all death. We're not going to shed tears because of our loved ones left. Some of us will shed tears because of this holiday season, because of our mom, dad, our husband, our wife, our children. Someone is missing from our table, and we'll cry today. Listen, all those tears are wiped away. All the sickness that we battle with every day. I hear people coughing and popping them cough drops. No more of that. And no more sin. We won't struggle day in and day out with temptations and sin. All that's eliminated. No more worry. What are you worried about this morning? There's coming a day when Christ returns. You won't have to worry anymore. No more fear. No more pain. The older I get, the more ouches I find. Some of you a little older than me, and you say, well, I can verify. How many times I've heard people say, there's no gold in the golden years. Listen, the only thing in the golden years that costs you a little bit more gold to try to feel better for a little while. Listen, all pain, all illnesses, all of it gone. All abuse. All human trafficking. All greed. All power-hungry politics. All of it gone. Church, what a tremendous future we have in Christ Jesus our King. Let us live. Let Christmas be a reminder of the second, the last Christmas that's coming. When Jesus comes back and all these things are eliminated. See, Jesus came and lived among them, among people, and he did heal. He did have miracles. But they were so limited. It was just a point ever born to him. Now he comes back and they're all gone. He's victorious over things that are enemies of God. May we celebrate Christmas with this promise that once again God will dwell with us for all eternity. You see, Jesus was called Emmanuel, God with us. But listen to what Revelation chapter 21, verse 3 and 4 says. John is writing this for our benefit as a church. He says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he would dwell among them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no longer any death. There will be no longer any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away.' And he who sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And he said, 'Write, for these things are faithful and true.'" Oh, Christian, today, yes, we celebrate our Christmas season here, but may we all look forward to the second coming of Christ, the last Christmas, when he comes in power and authority to bring the inheritance that he has promised to us. We celebrate the prophecy of Christmas, the story of the first Christmas, the salvation we have today through Jesus. And yet we look forward to the second coming of Christ, where he puts all those enemies that we struggle and fight with today under his feet, under his control. He does away with them. The question comes in today: do you know this Jesus as Savior? I'm not talking about a baby Jesus in a manger. I'm talking about King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do you know him as your Savior? What a great day for you. What a great day for you that the invitation to come to Jesus is wide open for you. And maybe the Holy Spirit is stirring in you this morning to say, "Yes, I want that Jesus." Would you respond in faith and repentance of your sin? You know what repentance is? Is that you turn away, but only God, through giving you faith, you turn away from those things that have you in a bondage. You can't do it on your own. If you could, you would have done it already. Only Christ can free you from that. And listen, when you put your faith upon him, you are saved at that moment. Not later, not once you're baptized, you're saved at that moment. Salvation happens like that. Instantaneous, when your heart is changed and you believe. Would you believe upon him today as Savior? I'll be here in the front of the church in just a moment as we close up. And I'll let everybody go. We'll be dismissed, but I'll be here. And as we pray right now, you may be saying, "Lord, I trust you as Savior. Lord, you know all my sin already, and I confess them to you. I repent of them. Lord, thank you for saving me. You want to just come tell me at the end of this service, 'I gave my life to Christ this morning.'" Would you look forward to the last Christmas along with us? Let's pray together. Father God, today, what a beautiful growth, Lord, we see from our first Christmas, where you come with humility as a little baby, fulfilling God's plan for our salvation. Living a sinless life, dying on the cross, resurrecting from the dead, ascending into heaven. Where you wait for the Father's word to go get your children. Father, we are your children. We wait here. God, maybe there's someone this morning, because of the work of the Holy Spirit has done in them, and Lord, they believe this morning upon you as Savior. And they just need to tell somebody. Father, you give them guidance and direction. Lord, may this time of season that we have so many sentiments stir an excitement and a joy as we look forward to your return. And all glory and all power and all honor go to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.